You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Really excited to have you with us for the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast, folks. Saturday evening, November the 1st. I'm your host, James Edwards. You are listening to the Political Cesspool as we broadcast to you live this evening from our flagship radio studio here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and as always, simulcasting online to an audience around the world at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Coming out of celebration mode and getting back to work and business as usual, and I could think of no finer guest to bring to you as our featured guest of this hour than the incomparable Dr. Kevin McDonald, who, of course, is no stranger to this show, but for the benefit of those who may be tuning in for the first time this evening, he has been a longtime professor at California State University, Long Beach. He is the editor of one of the finest websites and one of the finest print publications, respectively, in all of the land. He is the editor of the Occidental Observer at theoccidentalobserver.net and of the print journal, The Occidental Quarterly. They, of course, are sister publications. And the author of many epic books, including The Culture of Critique and Cultural Insurrections, his latest and perhaps greatest. Dr. McDonald, my friend, thanks for being back with us on short notice this evening.
Hey, James, great to be here. I always enjoy being on the show.
Well, about half as much as we enjoy having you, I promise you that. Always a privilege and an honor. And we have so much to talk to you about tonight.
Congratulations on your new edition. Really happy for you.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. I appreciated getting your email earlier this week to that effect, and I appreciate you saying it publicly now. I spent a little bit of time at the first hour, as you might expect. talking about that. Right, exactly. Well, you know, you're kind of like a volcano in that we have to have you on the program every now and then just to get some of that intellectual magma out of the crater there. And you've got a lot of stuff that has caught my attention, and so rather than bringing you on this evening to talk about one topic as our primary focus, if we can, I'd like to talk about two or three that you've written about recently at TOO, and we'll just spend a couple of minutes on each rather than doing one extensively. But before I even get to the ones I wanted to talk to you about, I want to circle back to one from a few weeks ago that I was even covering earlier this evening in your absence, and that was the article and the accompanying video that you had that featured the mockery of white genocide put on by Saturday Night Live. I'll ask you first if you remember that, and there's probably not much more than you can say that I didn't say earlier because I was reading some of your juiciest excerpts from your piece about that. But what, Kevin, would you say to the whites that laugh, mock, or even aid and abet their own dispossession?
It's pathetic, you know, and we see it over and over again. And now in the mainstream media, you can make fun of whites, you can make fun of white extinction or whites becoming a minority, whites having less power, whites being victimized even by crime and so on. It just happens all the time. And then now we see it Saturday Night Live. It was particularly loathsome, I'd have to say. But, yeah, it's part of the sort of zeitgeist right now. It's open season, as it were. And I think I have a feeling, and I haven't really written about this, but I just have a feeling that things are snowballing lately, that, you know, with this Obama immigration amnesty that they're going to do the executive thing, and they're just opening the borders. They're not keeping anybody out now. Anybody who can get here is going to be able to stay here. And it just seems like things are on steroids lately. That things are moving very quickly against us, and we have to realize that this is we're almost in the end game now, where they have so much power. And that we really have to, you know, really do everything we can to stem this tide.
Well, Kevin, I agree with you. I agree with you, but I would also say that certainly there is more than enough people who are still awakening to these issues out there, and I'm sure you get it because you're in a position of authority there as the editor of the Occidental Observer to read the comments and to receive correspondence from your readers and from your fans. Certainly I'm in a position similar to that here as the host of this radio show. There is no shortage of whites who agree with us on the issues. The problem is that these whites that do agree with us on the issues are either A, not in a position of power to do anything about it. They're working class, you know, Americans, salt of the earth types, and that's what I am, and that's who I care about. But or number two, or B, if you will, they perhaps aren't connected to outlets such as ours, and they don't speak out at all. They share our concerns. They're not part of the crowd that is actively encouraging or cheering this on, but they also feel rightfully dispossessed and won't speak out. And that's why I think even just to hear your response, the first word out of your mouth in reaction to the Saturday Night Live skit and those who laugh at such so-called comedy, pathetic. Just to hear a man stand up and say, you know what, that is pathetic.
Yeah, it's just horrible.
There's no shortage of people out there, even though I do believe that there has been somewhat of an awakening. And you see the comment sections on any even major establishment news piece on some of our issues, and we always win the comment sections, it seems. But at the same time, things, as you mentioned, continue to snowball. Well, a lot of it is that people won't stand up and even dare to tell the truth anymore, and that's a bigger problem and a whole other can of worms and a different conversation. But we need people willing to stand up and tell the truth. And at some point, Kevin, at some point, you know, I know Sam Dixon, our mutual friend, says, you know, it's got to get worse before it can get better, so let the bad times roll. Maybe that's true, maybe not. I'd rather not find out and rather let this be the darkest day and let there be, somewhat of a taking a back the clock, if you will. At some point, though, whites are going to have to pay a price. Or they're going to be wiped off the face of existence. So when does that time come, I guess, is the rhetorical question. When is it going to get bad enough to where they're going to stand up?
One of the things I write about in National Observer and elsewhere is the fact that American politics is getting more racialized. I think white people are subliminally, at least, almost unconsciously, they're angry about it. They don't like what's happening. Unfortunately, it's a Republican Party that is benefiting from this, in fact, I think since 1992, white voters are voting Republican 1.5% in greater percentage every presidential election. Unfortunately, you know, these establishment Republicans don't really give us the choices we want, you know, and so many whites, if they're not attuned to the alternative right, you know, a few things like Occidental Observer or the Political Cesspool. If they're not tuned into that, you know, what do they get? They get Sean Hannity, they get Bill O'Reilly, people like that, and they don't really get that the big issue here is white dispossession, and it happened before our eyes, and they will not mention that.
Kevin, let's pause right there and come back with that piece at theoccidentalobserver.net that I'm looking at and reading again right now. The Racialization of American Politics Accelerates is the title, written by Kevin McDonald. We're going to ask him to dive a little bit deeper into this right after these words.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody. We're very fortunate to have Dr. Kevin McDonald with us as our featured guest for tonight's third hour, editor of the Occidental Quarterly, which you can subscribe to, and, of course, go read his more frequent writings at theoccidentalobserver.net, one of my daily reads, and a website that I am at even as we speak here, as I said at the radio station this evening. And so, Kevin, you were talking about and getting into this other piece, which, as a matter of fact, I had intended to make for a topic of discussion this evening. The racialization of American politics accelerates is the title you gave it. And basically, you're saying that, and it gets into what we were talking about in the first segment, too, in that I do believe that more whites, listen, you would have to be absolutely brain dead to be a white person and to be watching what's happening in Ferguson and not have some sort of a common sense reaction to that and draw some conclusions, some heartfelt and fact-based conclusions. I think whites out there see it more than we give them credit for. Now, that's not to say that there are not a lot of white people and influential white people, CEOs and business types, and certainly all in the media that are working against themselves and their children. That's what you wrote in the Saturday Night Live article, is that the children of these people who are actively aiding and abetting the dispossession of whites and white genocide will suffer incalculably from their sins. I actually read that a passage from you twice. For emphasis, in I believe it was the first hour, their children will curse their names. But in the scheme of things, I think most red state white Americans, the working class, are either at least sympathize with our issues, if not actively practitioners to the extent that they believe that they can be. That's not to say that they're with us on everything, but I think that they would line up with us more than they would these folks we're talking about. And so this is your piece. Unfortunately, what they believe is the greatest form of resistance that they can muster is voting for Republicans every 2 to 4 years. Is that it, Kevin?
That is a huge part of the problem. I mean, they don't really, we certainly have an audience, and you especially have a great audience in terms of numbers, especially. And that's very, very important. But, we just can't reach the millions and millions of people that, say, Fox News reaches. And when you listen to these people, like I've been listening to Sean Hannity's radio show in the afternoon, and you get the idea that if the Republicans win this big election on Tuesday, that they're all, that they, you know, it's quite possible that they will win quite a bit, maybe take over the Senate, that everything's going to be just wonderful. Freedom's going to be back, you know, and America's going to be on the right track. And it's just ridiculous, you know, and so many Americans, I think, are in that mindset where they think that this election or the next election, where the Republicans could just get in and things will. But, you know, we have so much to do. I mean, they're just importing millions and millions and millions of people that are voting Democrat, basically. That this is the strategy of the Democratic Party. One of the points in that racialization of American politics is that non-whites are breaking like 80-20 for the Democrats. And, you know, whereas whites are, I would say that a true estimate of whites, when you get rid of people who are not classified as white, like Middle Easterners and Jews and so on, are about 65% Republican, you know, which is a landslide. In fact, I saw this graphic that if only white males voted in the last election, it would have been 48 states that went Republican. It would have been a massive, massive landslide. So, you know, that's the thing. We are, you know, on the right track here, but they're importing, making facts on the ground that are going to make it harder and harder and harder without a cataclysm, a huge cataclysm in this country.
Well, and a lot of these people, and I agree with you, and this is a graphic. Kevin has a graphic here that's worth seeing. We won't read it to you, but you can check it out at theoccidentalobserver.net. And a lot of these people truly believe that this is the solution. You know, a lot of our people are ignorant. I don't need to tell you that. But you know, a lot of the people that go to churches here in the South, they believe that. They really believe if they can just elect a few more Republicans that, you know, everything's going to be great and this will become some sort of a Christ-centered country again, which is, of course, preposterous. The Republicans, I can't remember the name of this. I feel so ignorant right now, Kevin, myself, and not remembering the name of this man who came up with one of the greatest quotes that I've ever read. I can't even remember the exact quote. I was trying to find it, and we've run it on the show before and recited it a few times in the past. But he talks about how, you know, this conservatism, this modern-day conservatism, and this was, you know, many decades ago, even when this man wrote it, and his name escapes me. Maybe you'll remember. But he talks about conservatism standing for nothing, willing to risk nothing, always destined to failure because it always marches one step behind its opposition. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know who that man was?
I'm not familiar, you know, it doesn't exactly ring a bell, but it's certainly true. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's very true.
Well, right, and that's the modern-day conservatism is even worse now than it ever was. And, you know, listening to Limbaugh and listening to Hannity and Levine and Savage and all of these people, they are never, ever, ever going to give you the truth about racial realities. They are certainly, even on the occasional, when they occasionally mess up and sprinkle a grain of truth into a story with a racial animus such as Ferguson, and some of them have, but they will certainly never give you the truth on Jewish power and influence and how that is an 800-pound gorilla that needs to be discussed. You know, I know we're vile, hate-filled anti-Semites for even wanting to have a discussion about whether or not this disproportionate amount of control is a good thing for this country, you know. But anyway, so this is what's going on, and these people continue to vote Republican, but they need to be doing a lot more than that. In fact, you could probably very convincingly argue that they don't even need to be doing that, right, Kevin?
Right. Now, I noticed with Hannity and also O'Reilly that they'll often sort of play the race card almost implicitly, where they'll talk about Ferguson in pretty good ways, you know, or things like that. And their audience just eats it up, you know, or they'll show videos of black criminals, you know, going into a store and just wiping it out and, you know, black street crime and all and some of the statistics and so on. But they don't really go beyond that, and they don't. You know, in O'Reilly's thing, it's always the black family or something like that, and they're just like us, really. If they can just get their families together and all that, it's just a very, very weak analysis, and it just doesn't get you where you want to go. He never talks about white dispossession, and it's So we have a long way to go on that.
Well, I agree with you, which isn't uncommon. But I do remember even mentioning this about Ferguson when it first broke, when that incident first occurred, and saying that, now that I think of it, a lot of the things I was seeing on Fox News in the first couple of days after the shooting, it was not very much different at all than what you would hear on this broadcast. And it was one of the first times that I ever saw them take a story and really tell it almost as good as we could have told it. But oftentimes, if they put any element of truth into a story of racial animus, it's by mistake. But on Ferguson, for whatever reason, I guess it's just so blatantly obtuse that even they, you know, the Blind Hog and the Acorn, so on and so forth, even the Fox News folks had to take there's only one stand you could take about this. In fact, I want to talk to you about the story, the most recent story about Ferguson that you have on TOO, which is the AIPAC rabbi calling for, quote, militant nonviolent resistance to racial injustice. That's a mouthful. I want to talk about that in the next segment, if you could stay with us for one more segment. But before we do that, I want to quickly work in just your basic findings in the article, get into Twitter and be depressed. What were you – well, there's the break. When we come back, Ask Not For Whom Happy Together plays, it plays for us. We're going to talk about two more articles at TOO this week with Kevin McDonald right after this.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, anytime we have Kevin McDonald as our guest, the hour flies by far too quickly. Hard to believe that we're already 30 minutes into this interview. And we have got to make haste now because we only have him for one more segment. Kevin, if you will, get into Twitter, be depressed. That's the title of another article at the Occidental Observer this evening. What's it about?
Well, it's just I'm sort of recounting my Twitter experiences. I've gotten into that lately. And the thing about Twitter is you can follow whoever you want. So I tend to follow, you know, sites like VDare and other, you know, sort of immigration skeptical sites and so on. And I get a lot of bad news, you know. but it's sort of interesting because it's sort of like if you tune into the mainstream media, if you just say read the New York Times and the LA Times, something like that, you get a sort of view of the world, you know. And in general, it's rather rosy about things like immigration and so on. But my Twitter feed is sort of downbeat. I mean, it's like I started out with this quote from Senator Sessions. You know, he talks about the president is assuming for himself the sole and absolute power to decide who can enter, work, live, and claim benefits in the United States. He's exempted virtually every group in the world from America's immigration laws. He gives this long list, including criminal aliens. And it's just, you know, and that's the kind of thing that you know, so I get a sort of steady diet of this. And I just, you know, it's perhaps not good for your mood, but it certainly makes you angry. And it also sort of, it really sort of tells you what it means to be, you know, what media you subscribe to sort of forms your worldview. And for most people, of course, you know, it's mainstream media or even, you know, mainstream conservatives or, but so many people, you know, it's the LA Times or the New York Times that they read, and it shapes how they think about things. Well, my Twitter feed, I gave a lot of people that I follow on Twitter, and you know, I think if you follow them, you'll have a sort of, you start to see the world the way I do, including myself. I have a Twitter account, so whenever I post an article on Occidental Observer, I post it on Twitter, and it's T-O-O Edit. You know, it's at T-O-O Edit is my Twitter thing. I'm trying to, you know, beef that up. I think Twitter is a great way of disseminating information.
It is, and we have to be wherever we have to use and utilize every forum and venue that we can to get our message out, because it's certainly a message that needs to be heard. And it's funny, Kevin, I was talking about this earlier in the program. Certainly we see things through a lens of objectivity and common sense, I believe. And
right.
I mean, I don't come in here, you know, with an irrational, sunny disposition. I mean, I readily admit that we are fighting not a losing battle, but at this point, a retreating battle on all fronts. I often get emails from people who say that they listen to the Political Cesspool because I am, by and large, so positive about these things.
Yeah.
And that even though the days are dark and the righteous are few, that I can still come in here and have a generally upbeat personality. And I talked about that and addressed that earlier in the program. And it's that I don't concern myself so much with the results or how things will play out in the future. I concern myself with doing my duty, and I can be happy and content in doing that. That's not to say that we don't need to have a turnaround or that we don't need to score some victories in short order, but certainly, surely, the race that has contributed so much to science and medicine and technology and frankly, basically all of the inventions of any substance that all of humanity and civilization have enjoyed, surely that race will not exit stage left without a whimper or without any fight. Surely one day we will turn and fight, and hopefully when that day comes, we'll still be here to enjoy that, Kevin. But at the same time,
right.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to, you know, say that I'm totally downbeat and depressed, because there are a lot of good things happening in this country, but especially in Europe, I think, with the rise of, in France, with the National Front and in the UK with the UKIP party and so on. There's just a lot going on, and I think especially in Europe, the forces of multiculturalism and massive immigration and the end of these specific nationalities in Europe, I think they're on the defensive right now, and they have to. I'm not saying they're still very, very powerful, but they are on the defensive. There have been so many disasters over there with the sex abuse scandal in Rotherham, England, where 1,400 girls were
exploited
by these Muslim men. It's just horrifying. And so it's becoming indefensible. And white working class people are simply not going to keep voting for the conservatives or the Labour Party. They're not going to vote for conservatives anyway, but they're not going to vote for the Labour Party, which is championing multiculturalism, is headed by Ed Miliband, is this Jewish former radical. It's just they're not going to vote for them anymore. And so I think there are going to be some big changes, but it's so hard in America to have a third party really break through. It's much easier with the European systems. But I think if something really happens over there, I think that is the best hope right now that could really be a game changer. If the European Union would collapse, or if it had to simply change the rules and to start changing the rules on immigration, especially. I don't think we're going to just exit stage left. I don't think so.
Well, and you're right, to draw hope and inspiration. I come in here with a positive attitude, but certainly not with an irrational hope. And certainly I would do my duty, and even if I knew we were destined to failure, I would still fight, and I would do everything that I could within my power to be a good son of our ancestors and a steward of our cause, even if I knew, if I had an oracle and I could see the future and I knew that the worst possible things were going to befall our people in the years to come, I would still get up and do the show, and I would still try to be a positive force for our people. But I don't think that we have an irrational hope, Kevin, and the inspiration that you draw from Europe is very rightly founded. And I think that we can look to what's happening in Europe. What we saw in the European elections, even though they were pharaohic in some regards, the real power lies in the national elections, which are still forthcoming. But there are a lot of positive trends going on with nationalist parties in Europe that are very encouraging. And so we have that. And certainly still, there needs to be a balance between the news. We can't sugarcoat everything. There has to be a degree of realism in that, yes, days are dark. Things are bad. But there's still hope to be had, and there's still places that we can find that. But at the same time, we do need to have, you're talking about these stories that we read that are depressing. They are. But we need to arm ourselves with a realistic viewpoint of where things stand today and the current trend in order to arm ourselves with the ammunition needed to go out there and be a positive force for change. And anyway, so there's the balance in the reality of the situation and the hope for a better tomorrow. And I think if you can walk that tightrope, that's the trick. But Kevin, I want to quickly transition, if we can. All roads right now lead back to Ferguson, it seems, in terms of news stories. I really have an interest, as I had a very vested interest. It almost felt like one of the best shows we ever did was the week after the acquittal of George Zimmerman. You were featured in that show, Kevin, Sam Dixon, Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor. It was an all-star lineup, and we didn't cover the same aspect of that story or the same element of it twice. Even though we talked about the same topic, each of you addressed it from a different point of view, or rather from a one of you were talking about the media element, one of you talking about the racial element. It was different elements, even though it was the same story. Anyway, I feel that same connection with the Ferguson story, and I can't wait to see how this is going to play out. I do believe now, I have hope that Wilson will be acquitted.
I think
you have an article?
Sort of, they're gradually putting out this information that is very much in his favor, in the police officer of Wilson's favor. And I think they're doing it because they want to sort of gradually, have people aware of this, because if they just simply announce it, it's going to be a huge riot. And there probably will be in any case. But at least, people are getting, I think most Americans now who are tuning into this story, they're aware that this was a totally justified shooting. And that they're not going to be surprised if he's not indicted. And the point of my article was this, these rabbis going there and acting as moral paragons, and they're very much in favor of the the Michael Brown protesters, and this is one of the themes that I've written about many times, and that the Jews have portrayed themselves as these moral paragons in the United States, and always on the side of justice and so on. And it's really wearing thin. This particular rabbi is very strongly pro-Israel. She's been to Israel a lot. She defends Israel. And, you know, Israel is simply indefensible. If you're going to take a sort of leftist human rights point of view, it can't be defended. But these people are extremely hypocritical. One of the interesting things there is that she's been giving all these talks in Ferguson and around there. She is now getting heckled by people who are critical of
Israel. Kevin, I want to ask you, I have gotten nothing right with the timing with you this evening, and it's entirely my fault. Can you stay one more segment so we can give this story a proper conclusion? All right, stay tuned, everybody. Kevin McDonald back with us right after this.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution. The Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. Henry the Eighth, I am, I am. I got married to the widow next door. She's been married seven times before. And everyone was an Henry. She wouldn't have a Willie or a Sam.
No, sir.
I'm her eighth old man, I'm Henry. Henry the Eighth, I am. Second verse.
All right, everybody.
Same as the
Welcome
first.
Back. I was telling you earlier in the show that I pick out a few songs every time I have a kid. And I play them at the hospital, making sure it's the first song they ever hear as they are introduced to the universe. And so for my daughter, it was my Can't Take My Eyes Off You. For my son, it was Walk Like a Man. But I threw that one in there, too, before we left the hospital. He is actually, Henry, my son, is actually the eighth grandchild on my wife's side. He's only the second grandchild for my parents because I only have two kids. My wife is a triplet, and so her siblings have had grandchildren. Anyway, Henry the eighth grandchild on my
That's a great old song.
Wife's. It is, you know, and I love that music. You know, we played that music as part of our during the show anyway, because it is a feel good music. You know, nothing
yeah,
to temper the disgusting articles and topics that we have to cover in the political cesspool than some uplifting 50s and 60s pop music, Kevin. I don't know. It's just I put it all in the blender and see how it comes out. But it does offer a little bit of a contrast. The music we play on this show contrasts the topics. But anyway. And Henry VIII, I mean, listen, there's a historical figure, kind of notorious, but I got to admit a part of me liked his style, I guess, in some regards. And but Henry is a strong name, a kingly name. It literally means powerful, powerful leader, or rather, home and powerful. Henry is the compound word there. Look up the history of the word. Now, and I do that. I like to look into the etymology of names and what they mean. And a strong name is something. It's a gift that a parent can give a child because that's something that obviously they'll carry with their whole lives. Anyway, I was, of course, celebrating that tonight, Kevin, and, you know, asking the rhetorical question, what kind of world are we going to be leaving to our children and to our posterity? And right now, that's very much a thorny question and not one that I can favorably answer. Of course, that's why we're working so hard and doing what we do, respectively. You and I and the others that are featured on this show in order to perhaps bring about, as we mentioned that last segment, a positive change. But we got to talk about Ferguson a little bit more, my friend. So the rabbi for AIPAC has called for, quote, militant nonviolent resistance to racial injustice. I think when the shoe drops, you can take one word out of that equation. That would be the nonviolent part. I really think that the media has so coddled these malcontents and these insolent malcontents that they have all but sanctioned their lawlessness, and you have black commentators threatening violence unless they get what I basically perceive as lynch mob justice here. You know, the facts be damned of the case. They want his head, and they're going to get it no matter what. And if they don't, they're going to act out, and they're going to riot and loot. And they're going to, you know, who knows what else. The media and the government, Eric Holder, Obama, they have coddled it. They have sanctioned it. They have justified it. Talk a little bit more about your story here, Kevin, on TOO. And then, you know, give us a little prediction on what you'll see if justice is served and this man is acquitted, or not acquitted, rather, but charges not filed. What are we going to see there?
Well, the article just discusses how hypocritical she is, and she's not the only one. You know, she's there protesting. She's encouraging these people. She's acting as if she's, you know, this moral paragon and all that. But when it comes to Israel, you know, Israel has this apartheid system. They're just crushing the Palestinians. They're taking their land. They're doing all these things. And, you know, she works with AIPAC. AIPAC is totally on board with all this stuff. So it's completely hypocritical. I mean, she's advancing her ethnic interests. And for Jews, they have seen their ethnic interests be to basically, you know, to make these alliances with blacks and then Hispanics and now every other immigrant group that comes into the country. They have been in a very, very strong leadership position of the non-white coalition, which is centered in the Democratic Party. You know, 80% of whites, including 80% of Jews, have voted for Obama. And you see those percentages are going to, you know, they're going to continue. It's very clear that it's a great strategy for the Democrats to do this. I do think that the grand jury is leaking this stuff out. Somebody's leaking it out because they're trying to prepare people to get people on board with the fact that this is just this was a very justified shooting. But in any case, there's going to be violence. Absolutely, you're right about that. You know, there's what's this nonviolent stuff? I mean, they're very violent people, and there's just all this hatred. And I do think it'll be yet another wake up call for America, especially for white Americans to really sort of solidify some of their racial views. And perhaps, see things more the way we do, and be absolutely, be skeptical about the next time it happens. Because it's always happening. It's like it happens every 6 months, a year, every year, that you have one of these big blow-ups, and then the media goes, full bore blaming the white person. And we see there's a different story eventually. So I think this will happen at this time as well. I mean, so it's a wake-up call.
Well, we'll certainly have you back. I can't understand for the life of me how the grand jury has not reached a determination yet. I mean, it's such a cut-and-dry case. There have to be. I mean, they just have to be. Just looking at it, and I said, if the roles had been reversed and this had been, some white thug and it had been a black officer, I will, I'm always a cheerleader for my people, but in the instances in which my people do wrong, I am always on the side of reason in objectivity. I mean, sometimes whites commit crimes and they're, in this hypothetical situation that the races had been reversed in this, first of all, the whites wouldn't have had a reaction like this. It would have never made the news, but if it had, I'd like to think, I unlike our detractors, Kevin, that I could be objective enough to say, if the facts show that he was beating this cop's skull in, then it's a justifiable shooting, and it would have been justifiable regardless of the racial makeup of the perpetrator and the officer. Unfortunately, as is always the case, the perpetrator is a member of the urban undertow, if you will, and the victims in a lot of these interracial spats is a white officer with a sterling record, I might add. Never had a blemish on it, as far as I've heard. And anyway, right. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. And when it does play out, and maybe they'll issue their findings on Christmas Eve when people are distracted or something. I don't know, but whenever it happens, I'll look forward to it. Go ahead, Kevin.
Saying that. The facts do not matter in this case. They had this mindset, and they're absolutely going to believe it. I mean, I watched, on Fox News, I saw that some black or something like that, a black lawyer being interviewed. They don't believe it. He just says he doesn't believe whatever the police department says. He won't believe what the grand jury says. It's like he's just got this mindset, and that's just the way they're. He's an educated person. The average black in that situation, Ferguson, they have no interest in the facts. They have it's a mob mentality, and if they were able, they would have strung up Officer Wilson a long time ago.
I couldn't help but notice that this situation dripped with irony. One of the great libels against our people was that whites just engaged in reckless lynch mob justice in the South. I think in the grand history of America, there was just a couple of hundred lynch mobbings.
Right.
But in this case, and that's one of the things that we're always slimed with, that this was so pervasive, when obviously that wasn't the case even to begin with. But now that's exactly what they want. That's exactly the kind of so-called justice they would administer if given the chance, and they would. If they could hang this guy from the nearest tree, they would do it in a heartbeat and think it was justified. And it just goes to show that you just have to have separation. At the end of the day, the only thing that's going to cure the racial tensions and racial ailments that afflict our country is a separation. And that's just, I can't put it any more bluntly than that. That's just the way it is. And it's a shame that the law-abiding and do-gooders, that there are the exception rather than the rule in the black community, have to be lumped in with, the status quo. But it's just... I don't see any other way.
I'm very concerned about him for the future. I think his whole life is going to be colored by this.
Well, he's ruined. He's ruined.
If
he doesn't go to jail.
He is attacked and murdered some point down the line. And also these witnesses, apparently there are six or seven, eight black witnesses who are telling, that are giving a story that supports Officer Wilson. those people are in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely not going to hear from them. My goodness, this hour's gone by so fast. Kevin, we're out of time, flat out of it, or I'd ask you to stay another segment. But I thank you for giving us your wit and wisdom tonight, and we'll look forward to the next time already.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Always,
my friend. Good night, everybody. Let's pray for Eddie, who's in New York tonight, getting ready for the marathon. I'll see you next week. I'm James Edwards. God bless you.